No grace. No breathing grace. No A on the end.
So many nice songs, tunes, especially here in Bengal, that have grace, that have melody, that have everything nice. And you get this march. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mukhe Bhakti Vedanta Samani Ki Namah Namaste Sarshati Deve Gaudavani Kisharani Ibushe Shunivani You want to come around the front and sit over here next to another kitchen? You can do that. So we discussed at length yesterday the point that material happiness is the cause of material suffering. That's how material nature is set up. As Prabhupada says, the more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he's entrapped by material miseries. They're like flip sides of the same coin. You can't pick up a coin and say, well, I'm just going to pick up the head side. Pick up a coin, you get the head side and the tail side, both. So you pick up so-called material pleasure. The rule is you've got to have material misery coming along with it. That's how it works. The more we're after material pleasure, the more material misery will reach us. Very key verse to understanding the setup of the material world. Everyone's pursuing pleasure, but what they're really pursuing is misery, dressed up like that. That's called mind. That's called illusion. We think we're going to get pleasure, but we really get it. By anything other than devotional service, that's what we get. Sorry? Well, we come up to the front. You want me to work harder? Is that the story? Get closer. Everybody come.
Hey, I'm going.
It's okay, I drank a whole lot before I came. That's all right, Sujitendra.
Sujitendra?
Put some back, I think. I'm sure we could all give our favorite example to how someone goes looking for pleasure and gets just the opposite.
Yeah.
Maybe from our own personal lives. We would have that experience. Okay, moving ahead. Shaknoti haiva yashodhum prakshariya vimokshana kama krodhod bhavam begam sayukta sasuki. This is the actual way to be happy. If one is able to tolerate Shodhun means to tolerate. What is that? Kama krodho bhavam vegam. Vega means pushing. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam. These are the pushing. Prabhupada said just like if there's, when there's pushing to go to the toilet bowl. Pushing. So the tongue is exerting force to speak. I want to speak, I want to speak. I want to speak, let me speak. I want to speak. Mind is pushing. I have an idea, I have an idea, I have an idea. Let me think of this, let me think of that. Let me fantasize about this, let me imagine that. Manasa krodha vegam, anger. All of these pushing. So, kama krodha udvavam, which are coming from lust and anger. The desire to enjoy and the feeling of anger when we don't get what we want. Kama krodha udvavam vegam. The one who can tolerate these, prakshadiyata vimokshana, before giving up this body. And does Prabhupada say here? Maybe not, might be in one of the commentaries. But as long as we have this body, this is going to be there. There's going to be some pushing from the mind and senses. We want this, we want that. And Krishna consciousness means to tolerate. Tolerate. This pushing is there, but it doesn't mean I have to be pushed around. So one who can tolerate is called the Godfather. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control anger and desire. Control means tolerate. Any question there? Tams tatikshas for fire. Thank you. Y'all. Ya anta sukantara ramas tatanta jyotireva. Ya sayogi brahmanirvanam brahmabhuta odigachati. Anta sukha, one who is happy within. What does that mean? Happiness within?
Self-realized.
Atmaram, he's happy as spirit soul in his relationship with Krishna, Atma, Rama, enjoying within, Anta Jyoti, he's aiming within, or he's enlightened within. Sayogi, he's a yogi. The person who's in Bhaiha, what was that? Bhaiha Sparsheshu, who's concerned with the external gratification of the senses, he'll not be happy. So one has to look inward for happiness, not outward for happiness. That's the theme. Sayogi, he's a yogi, and he attains liberation in the Supreme, Brahma Nirvana. Nirvana means extinguishing of material existence, and Brahma means in the Absolute. Brahma Nirvana. So he's a self-realized person and he attains the Supreme. Any questions there?
What does it mean to be active inside?
Yes. Prabhupada explains. He enjoys happiness by... He can sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Means within himself, just like within myself I can be miserable. Blake said that the mind creates a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. In your mind, you could be here, but you could be anywhere. You know, and that's typically what's going on. You're sitting someplace, but your mind is dwelling someplace on sense gratification. Oh, when I get off work and go home and eat and this and that, or when I, you know, when when I'm on vacation and I'll go lie on the beach and this, that, whatever it is. One is imagining something. The mind is on something for sense enjoyment. Otherwise, the Krishna conscious person, his mind is fixed on Krishna. So he's thinking of Krishna's activities, he's thinking of devotional service to Krishna, that when I finish this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, all kinds of service. So he's active in Krishna consciousness, he's hearing, he's chanting, he's remembering Krishna. It's all in relationship to the soul and the super soul, not in relationship to the body and the senses. Is that okay? It's not inactivity. My bodies, they want to just like snuff everything out so that nothing's happening. Then that's perfection. But the Vaishnavas, they want to become absorbed, forget about the external interests, and become absorbed in their relationship with Krishna. Is that okay? Labhante Brahmanirvanam. If you look at the lives of the Goswamis, outwardly, you know, they were just beggars, and they were, you know, what was there? But inwardly, the whole spiritual world was there. All the pastimes of Radha. How was Rupa Goswami? So now, how could they write such books? It was all happening. Within themselves, all of these things were happening. They were meditating on these things, seeing these things, and tasting these things, and then writing it out. Is that all right? I don't know what's up.
No, just...
Okay. Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishiya Shina Kol Mishaha Chinna Dvaita Yatatmana Sarvabhuta Hitevata. Labhante Brahmanirvanam Rishiya Kshina Kalmasha. They're freed from all sins. They attain liberation in the Supreme. Chinna Dvaita, having torn to pieces all duality. Yata Atma, being engaged in self-realization. And Sarvabhuta Hiterita, Lokanam Hitakarina, working for the benefit of all living beings. Means Krishna consciousness, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hite is welfare work, so it's not the normal welfare work.
No, it's not the Red Cross, the Bharat Seva Sangh, or any of that sort of stuff. The real welfare work, what is that? Namo Mahabharanyaya.
Krishna Prema
Pradayate. That's the real welfare work. Lokanam Hitakarino. The Goswamis were always working for the welfare of all living beings, but they didn't open any hospitals, no chicken farms, no schools so that kids could get a good education and get good jobs, no medical dispensaries, no this, no that.
Rehabilitation.
No rehabilitation centers, nothing for orthopedic surgery, none of this stuff. It was all spreading Krishna consciousness. And they're considered to be the greatest welfare workers. So everybody else is working for some small thing. And they're working for the real thing. They're giving permanent liberation from material existence and engagement in the service of the Lord. As compared to just fixing up a limb or fixing up a this or fixing up a that. Which is a temporary fix. You solve one problem, the next problem comes. So, Prabhupada, many, many places. In one place, he says that the person who is opening hundreds of hospitals or so many, you know, things, he's not as good as a person who's simply ringing the neophyte devotee who's simply ringing a bell in the temple. For a neophyte devotee who's simply ringing the bell in the temple is doing more valuable service than thousands of welfare workers. What is that book that was translated from Prabhupada wrote in Bengali and was translated into English.
Renunciation through wisdom.
Renunciation through wisdom, right. That's what it is. Prabhupada's quite strong on it.
He's really heavy.
Huh?
Very heavy.
Very heavy. You remember that part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mundane philanthropy. And you find it in many, many places. Prabhupada is never up on mundane philanthropy. Oh, yes, ISKCON should open chicken farms. ISKCON should open hospitals. ISKCON should open dispensaries. ISKCON should open orphanages. ISKCON should open schools so that people can get a good education. ISKCON should do this. None of it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, same thing. Wasn't interested at all in mundane welfare.
Wasn't it once that they collected lots of money for flood relief and then they spent it on a dollar exhibition? And then
I don't know that they collected it for flood relief, but anyway, they had a lot of money and they spent it on one of these diorama exhibits. And there was a big stir, you know, that this money should have been spent for philanthropic activity. We published it. Anyway, that's a whole separate seminar. Sometime you can, for $50, you can come to my anti-welfare seminar.
What's there?
I've given it several times. I think the recordings are available from Radhadesh. I gave a seminar called Food for Death.
Oh, they're on your website also.
Is it on my website, Food for Death?
Food for life? There's a text. I think it's in the 12th chapter of the Gita, and it talks about the impersonalists. They should do. Now the phrase is off my mind, but I got the idea it meant he should act for the welfare of all living beings. And also, I've heard that you can interpret like Bhagavad Gita, especially these chapters, in an impersonal way or a personal way. So, what kind of welfare work is an impersonalist?
What is the welfare work of all? Even if you're an impersonalist, to raise people to the point of understanding that they're not this body, that's at least better, that even that is better welfare work than opening chicken farms and starting schools and orphanages. If someone can come to the point, I'm not this body. Even that trouble is that they, you know, then they say, you're not this body, you're spirit soul, now commit spiritual suicide. So they spoil their welfare work. But the Vaishnavas give the actual welfare. Kaivalya, they rescue the Mayavadis. That's real welfare work. The Mayavadis rescue the materialists, and the Vaishnavas rescue the Mayavadis. Yes?
I wanted to ask, why Sri Upanishad said that the person actually who have knowledge, they are more dangerous than...
Why is that coming in all of a sudden? Why is that question coming in? What does that have to do with the subject matter here?
Because now we were speaking that actually, the persons who are giving the people knowledge that they are not this body, they are better than the persons who have all this knowledge.
Yes, to know that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul, that's better. But the trouble is that then they spoil it with this, I'm God, you're God, everyone's God. Otherwise, knowledge is better than ignorance. Or you want to argue the contrary?
No, I'm just wondering why it is said like that.
Because the impersonal conclusion is not good. The so-called culture of knowledge. Especially the so-called culture of the MA, PhD, double PhD. And it seems to me that, when we look at it very carefully, matter is the source of everything, and there's no real life outside of matter. Blah, 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 blah. And the Krishna myth is one of the most interesting. They produced some interesting literature, kind of like the Iliad and the Odyssey and other myths from ancient cultures. And blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah. that kind of knowledge, it's better to be ignorant.
But then do we say,
yes?
After he's finished, you say, why are you talking about him?
Okay?
Although we are not very good at opening all these hospitals and extra, because it is working against the energy. Like we have one hospital for what we are experiencing, although we are not very successful. I have a feeling that it's not working for someone.
I'm lost. What are you saying?
What I'm saying that in our process, it is not allowed to open hospitals or anything like that.
It's not our business.
It's not our business. Nevertheless, we tried one, and it's not really as it should be, you know.
At the hospital, it's great. That's not ISKCON's project. That's some doctors who are devotees.
It's a good hospital.
Excuse me? Very good hospital.
Yeah.
Nice doctor. Greatest, you know, if you have to go to a hospital, it's great.
Yeah.
Bhaktivedanta Hospital.
Yeah.
But it's not ISKCON's project. They're doctors. They're devotees. They could be car mechanics, you know. Why should we have all be working separately for these different garages? Let's make our own garage. And when the customers come, we'll give each of them a book. And everybody has to come to us because cars break down all the time. So we'll help them fix their cars and we'll preach to them about Krishna. And we'll have the association of devotees instead of being spread out all, you know, that's fine. Or, you know, whatever your occupation is, instead of being spread out all just no association, working for some materialist and not giving anyone Krishna consciousness. So get together with other devotees, work together and preach to people at the same time. It's a wonderful thing. But it's not that the real welfare is, you know, yeah, we're really helping people, we're fixing their cars. Well, yeah, great, okay. That's not our you know. ISKCON is, what is ISKCON doing for the world? Well, we're fixing people's cars in Bombay. You know, it's one of the biggest problems in India that these cars keep breaking. So, the real thing is that they're giving people Krishna consciousness. And they're setting the example that in your occupation, you chant Hare Krishna, you serve Krishna. So it's a wonderful thing. But it's not ISKCON's program. Every householder in his occupation should arrange things in such a way that he's the most Krishna conscious and gives the most Krishna consciousness to others. That's very good. But ISKCON's business is a little different. Yes?
Not to speak of providing legitimate jobs for householders.
Yeah. You know, providing jobs and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. Lovely. Yeah, it's very, very good. You know, people should have jobs and you know, this, that, the other thing. But that's not, you know, ISKCON is not being created to create jobs. You know, to reduce the unemployment rate. Prabhupada created ISKCON. That's not.
I don't want to, like, expand too much the subject, but some devotees say that 50% of mission of Srila Prabhupada of ISKCON is to establish the whole Varnashram.
Yeah.
How would that, like, fit? In
you didn't want to, you, how would what?
How would that related to what is actually ISKCON's...
Yeah, you didn't want to open up a diversion, but
it
did. What about the 50% of Prabhupada's mission, you know?
Yeah.
We'll deal with that. That's the $75 seminar.
What's it called, man?
Huh?
What's it called?
It's called Making a Living by Preaching about Varnashram.
That's a good one.
Because
no one's doing it, you just talk about it.
Yeah. No, because I get $75
for
it.
And there's no cookie.
Anyway, it's a very good topic, but we're not going to take a left turn.
That's why I don't want to expand too much.
Excuse me?
That's what I said. I didn't want to expand too much because I know it's a big topic.
Yeah, it's a big topic. Moving forward. Maybe you can catch that when we're out of our ashram verse again.
Opening gurukuls where the students are taking the academic studies with something Vedic knowledge is better.
Actually, I was thinking this morning that there should be a rule that if your school is a government syllabus school, you shouldn't be allowed to use the name Gurukul. Gurukul is not a place where people get a government education. That's called school. And Gurukul is the place where it's focused on spiritual education. I happened to turn up a few days ago a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and Gopal Krishna Maharaj and some other people were there. And I guess the school was kind of getting going in Vrindavan. They were discussing the Vrindavan school. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj said that we could get government accreditation. And Prabhupada said, no, 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 no. Never, 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 never. He said, otherwise, you know, we had a school and why did we leave Dallas? You know, they had a school in Dallas. Why did they move from Dallas to Vrindavan? So that we can teach what we want.
But spiritual knowledge cannot give the job, like something like
that. Great. If you want if you want jobs and all that, go to school.
No, but there must be some, like, if everybody become like a brahmachari, like, but how can
if everybody became, you know, Krishna conscious, who would run the water treatment plants? Or, you know, fine. That's not our problem. What would happen don't worry about if everyone became Krishna conscious, because not everyone's going to become Krishna conscious. What if everyone became, you know, a surgeon? What about all the rest of the things in the world that, you know, need to be done? What if everyone became this? What if everyone became is a nonsense argument wherever it's applied. What if everyone became a millionaire? You know, what if everyone became
who would sweep the floor?
You know, it's not ISKCON's business to see that people get good jobs and good education and good this and good that. That's just not ISKCON's business. Prabhupada actually said that the benefit of Gurukul education is they'd be unfit for any employment. Because these schools are meant to produce shudras, people who are employable, people who can go around, Prabhupada said, with their diploma between their teeth, and get up on their hind legs and go, whoop, 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 employ me, employ me, and wag their tails. That's shudra. So for that, there's lots of educational opportunities available. So you can become another cog in the wheel, you can become another dog barking at the door. That's not Gurukul, that's school. So if you want to send your kids to school, there's lots of schools available, and maybe devotees can start more such schools, fine. But Gurukul is something else. Gurukul is meant for training brahmacharis and spiritual understanding, control of the mind, control of the senses, understanding adhyatma vidya vidyana, vidyalaya. The real vidyalaya is where they're giving adhyatma vidya, spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, it's avidyalaya. Okay.
But how will they earn their earning if, like, suppose then they grow
well,
up?
What is earning money? Money is.
If you need to earn a living, if you know how to control
money
your
money. Comes anyway. That's Prahlad Maharaj, you know, just like it goes anyway. You protect it as carefully as you can, and it gets plundered anyway. Mm-hmm. You didn't work to get it plundered, but it left of its own accord. It will also come of its own accord. Probably said money is lying in the street.
I never showed any person at my high school diploma. I've made just a few dollars in my life.
I gave the example, our Radha Jivan. I was giving this same story, you know, that actually if you're destined to get money, it will come. If you're not, it won't, regardless of your education. And then after the class, I said to him, Radha Jivan, did you go to college? He said, to my father's, you know, unhappiness, I left in my first year, freshman year, to join the Hare Krishna movement. Then he was a brahmachari so many years, so many things. Then when he finally started a business, it became a $1 million business. Because he's Marwadi, so it has to be coming. Yeah, he gives big donations, spends so many projects,
building over there,
so many things, and he never went to college. And there's so many, you know, big men. They've got, you know, my sister's got a PhD and she can't make any money. Mm. Her astrologer told her, you'll have fame but no money. You know, you'll have a good reputation, but you know, money you'll just squeak by. And she's got a PhD. So, you know, what's the use? Okay, I'll say one nasty thing about education. I happened to be thinking about this yesterday. There's a survey done. This is going back about 10, maybe it's more than 10 years old now, but it's the most recent comprehensive survey on the sexual habits of Americans. And the survey was actually started by Congress, but Congress canceled it and it was later funded by the private sector. And the thing that people, you know, there are people who are willing, it's interviews and questionnaires and things. The toughest thing to ask people about, the thing they really didn't want to talk about, you know, that people were most edgy about, and even the people who were like, you know, funding the survey and so on, was masturbation. And anyway, they found out things about that in their survey, and a lot of interesting things that were contrary to what people generally think. And it was all pretty, you know, dull information, actually. But there's one thing that stood out statistically. The incidence of masturbation increased in proportion to the number of years you'd spent in school. And that goes all the way up from high school to college to graduate school. And I'm not lying. I'm not going to argue for causal relationships and what interpret the statistic. I'm just throwing the statistic out at you, and it's a real statistic that the incidence of masturbation increases in direct proportion to the number of years a person has spent in school. How do you do that?
Let's get into Bhagavad Gita.
Well, the reason, you know, the statistics don't tell you the reason. Now, I could speculate that the reason is that the more that you go to school, the more you get, in America at least, exposed to this these ideas that this is healthy and da 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 da, and that you. If you resist these natural urges, da 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 da. While we're on the topic, because it's generally argued that these things are like just responding to natural urges, da 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 da. And the study found that it really has a lot to do with culture. And evidence of that was that the demographic group with the lowest incidence of masturbation were the blacks. Because apparently, the author's reason, in black culture it's just really uncool. You know, in like other parts of American culture it's like, okay. But in black culture it's like, man, you do what? You know, it's just really not regarded as any kind of status.
Not if you're a man.
Yeah, you know, it's just like,
you can't get together, you're a woman.
Yeah, it's really unmanly. And the result being that the statistic is way down in the black community. Okay. I'm not quite sure how we got there.
Modern education.
Yeah, modern education.
Supposed to job or the
excuse me?
What happened to the Gurukul?
What happened to the Gurukul?
Which Gurukul?
Good question.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
Well, you can all go into the seminar business. You know, that's a good seminar title. What happened to the Gurukul? That's another big topic for discussion. Yeah, nowadays, well, over down that
school.
That side, I think, they're working on
something.
Yeah.
Well, that's for the girls. That's the girls.
Down towards, in the direction of Tarnpur.
Maharaj's place.
You want to find out about Gurukul, head down toward Tarnpur. See what's going on down there. Otherwise, if you want to know about school,
here. Yeah.
It's that way.
Mm. That's why they changed the name from, they changed it to Sri Mayapur International School.
Yeah, from.
That was one of the reasons. Before it was something Gurukul.
Yeah, I mean, better to be honest. If you have a Gurukul, it's one thing. If you have a school, it's another.
So this is not technically a Gurukul. That's what the reason.
It's a school.
It's
Cambridge.
It's
a Cambridge syllabus, all of that stuff. It's a school. Mm. Gurukul is different.
About sending Vaishnava parents pushing children to do higher and higher education so it could have
a highball. Mm. The words of the sages, to each his own. That's a whole seminar in itself. I mean, you could talk a lot about that. Maybe just to say a little bit about it. I've seen, because I spent time with Vaishnava youth, I see a lot of difference between Vaishnava youth who've been to Gurukul, you know, for any amount of time, and Vaishnava youth who haven't. You know, there's individual personal differences from one person to the next, but as a generalization, kids who've been to Gurukul, they have, you know, a lot, they just have a lot more in them of training of Krishna consciousness, of values of Krishna consciousness, knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Whereas, you know, it's like one Vaishnava youth told me, he said, you know, we visited a school, me and this young man, where they were, you know, focusing on academics, and they were like working overtime not to be like a Gurukul. And he said to me, he said, these kids are getting cheated.
These kids?
Are getting cheated.
Cheated.
He said, because like, he'd been to Gurukul, he said, you know, whatever it was, they, you know, like, drummed Krishna consciousness into us so well that we just can't get it out. He said, these kids won't have any problem. You know, for them it'll be easy, because Krishna's not there to begin with. So they won't have much trouble getting rid of it. One man's opinion. Kama krodho. Time to, this is our break time, isn't it? After 5 minutes. Okay. Kama krodha vimuktanam yati nam yata chetasam. Abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, self-realized, self-discipline, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, yati nam, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. And Prabhupada quotes a very important verse here, yat pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya karmashayam gratitam udgratayanti santa tadvan narikta matayo yatayo pirudha ganas tamaranam pajavasudevam. The meaning is that you can try to stop the waves of sense gratification, but that's not as effective as being engaged in devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. Pada pankaja palasha vilasha. that positive engagement in devotional service will be more effective in freeing one from material desires than simply trying to check desire by yoga system or by philosophy or by whatever. Positive engagement in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, that will be effective.
Yes.
Liberated means vimuktanam. They're liberated from kama and krodha, yatinam. They're endeavoring in spiritual advancement, yata chetasam, controlling the minds. Brahma nirvana. They'll be, all their material miseries will be extinguished and they'll go back home, back to Godhead.
But when somebody is self-realized, he shouldn't have this.
Shouldn't have what?
Desires, material desires.
Yeah, that's what, I don't understand. What,
no,
what
there is written, those who are self-realized, later on, in the future...
Brahma nirvana means they'll go back to Godhead. Brahma nirvana means they'll go back to Godhead. That's how Prabhupada translated it in the previous verse.
And this one is the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed.
Brahma nirvanam, liberation in the Supreme. Achieves liberation in the Supreme. What was that? Anyway, it means going back to Godhead. The absence of material desires, material miseries. Still, as long as we have this body, there's something, even the self-realized soul. But he attains perfection.
So, is this another pravritti nirvritti? So, you know, we heard that you hear some sparks of Dobo, Ga, and, you know, don't do this, you know. And then here we're getting a do endeavor for perfection. Don't just tolerate the urge of the material senses.
Yeah, it's positive.
Yeah.
It's all going the same way. It's not... You know, it's like if we tell a devotee, don't worry, you'll be liberated very soon. That doesn't mean he's not a self-realized person. It doesn't mean he's not Krishna conscious, but... Go back to him. Otherwise, he's more than liberated. That's also good. Self-realized. Yata chetasam, actually self-realized. Yeah, viditātmana. I'd have to look up viditātmana and see exactly what it means. But those who... Yeah, I'd want to look up exactly what viditātmana is, because that's what self-realized is here. Let's see if there's a comment on it.
First line of the purport is very nice.
Hello. Here's Baladev's comment on it. Oh, Vishnath's comment on it. Very helpful. When will those who have realized the soul, but not Paramatma, Viditātmanam, attain the happiness of Brahma Nirvana? That's his take on it. This verse explains. Okay? Now we're happy, right? Okay. I And yes, Prabhupada says at the beginning, the saintly person is constantly engaged in striving towards salvation. One who is in Krishna consciousness is the best of all. Should we stop here? Or should we finish the chapter?
Finish the chapter.
Sparshan kritva bahir bahyam chakshu saivantare bhubo prana pano sumo kritva nasa bhyantara charino yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayana digate cha bhaya kroto yasada mukta eva saha. So now we're getting a hint of the yoga system, which will be explained in detail in chapter 6. Pratyahara, pranayam, niyam asana, yam niyam asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyan, samadhi, eightfold yoga system. So that's being alluded to here. Sparshan kritva, kahir bhayam, chakshu shaivam kuru. I think it's pretty clear, isn't it? Any question about it? Okay. One thing is that this is another one of those old edition, new edition comparisons. The old edition had parenthetically in the purport that pratyahara is the breathing system. Pratyahara, where it's mentioned, one has to drive out the sense objects and by the pratyahara breathing process in yoga. But it's not the breathing process, that's pranayama.
Mm-hmm.
So some editor being helpful had added breathing to make it clear and screwed it up. Everyone makes mistakes. Okay. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam shantam. So this is Prabhupada's peace formula, or Krishna's peace formula, which it seems you're all very familiar with. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, Krishna is the supreme proprietor, and Krishna is the supreme friend. Suhrid means heart-to-heart friend. There are different words for friend, mitra, bandhu, different words. Suhrid means, hrid means hearts. So heart-to-heart friend, very intimate friend of everyone, that's Krishna. Shanti has come up several times. Ashantasya kutasukam, how can one be happy without peace? Now here's the real way to peace, by knowing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Yes?
I just want to ask, why the third chapter is called Karma Yoga and the fifth chapter Karma Yoga?
They're actually named differently. In the kind of traditional tags, which are not part of the book, but which are and which differ from edition to edition. Third chapter is called Karma Yoga, and fifth chapter is called Sannyasa Yoga. But therefore, Sannyasa probably gives it action in Krishna consciousness. Actually, all the first six chapters fall within Karma Yoga. Generally, it's taken the first six chapters are Karma Yoga, last six chapters are Jnana Yoga, and the middle six chapters are Bhakti Yoga. Although Bhakti Yoga is everywhere, but generally, it's taken that way. Know exactly why Prabhupada gave it this name? Action. Who put it that way? The author, as far as I know. As far as I know. As far as I know, the chapters are made by the author. I don't know that. You know, sometimes like verse numbers or different things are introduced later, or you know. But as far as I can understand here, these chapters are the chapters since a long time. 18 chapters. And you'll find, you know, commentators, long, long far as I know, it's the author. All right, break. 5 minutes. Fire means doesn't perform the fire sacrifices that are part of the standard householder duties in the old days. It's not that you stopped performing your duties and now you're a sannyasi. But actual sannyas means not giving up, not being attached to the fruits of work. What is that, Rupa Goswami? Anasaktasya Vishaya. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya. This is actually Vairagya. I'll give a practical example. That one time Prabhupada was leaving from an airport in New York in the evening, and so many devotees were there. We all crowded into this little room at the airport, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj came. At that time, he was in his previous ashram, householder life. So he came directly from work, you know, wearing his suit and tie. So he offered obeisances and said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm so sorry that I came in my karmi clothes, but I came from work." And Prabhupada said, "Not karma, not karmi." He said, "Karma yogi." And then he quoted this verse, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Phalam, Sa Sannyasi Chi Yogi. Yes?
Raja, here a lecture, like Prabhupada, you know, he says whenever Krishna is referred to in the Bhagavad Gita, it's always Sri Bhagavan is Vata. Yes. So like Sanjay Vata, Arjuna Vata, never say Krishna Vata.
No.
But always Sri Bhagavan.
Sri Bhagavan Vata. Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just Krishna Vata. Okay, any other question here? Yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam viripandava nahi asanyasta sankalpa yogi bhavati kashchana. Well, here again is a familiar formula that, well, they're both the same. The person who gives up work and the person who acts in yoga. Because unless one has renounced sankalpa, the determination to enjoy this material world, he can't be a yogi. And Prabhupada explains that the Krishna conscious person is simultaneously a sannyasi and a yogi. Okay, any questions? Avarukshur muner yogam karma karanam uchyate yogarudhasya tasyaiva shama karanam uchyate. Here Krishna is describing two levels of yoga. He's already starting now his discussion of yoga. And yoga means Ashtanga yoga. And he's giving two levels. What are they, A levels and O levels? They call them in English?
Yeah.
So which is the beginner level?
O level.
O level.
Ordinary.
So this is the O level that he's working. Karma karanam. The means for advancement is by work. And the A levels, yoga rudha, is when there's cessation of material activities. And Prabhupada explains that in the beginning, yoga system's a lot of work. You sit this way, you breathe this way, you undergo these different disciplines. Then in the advanced stage, you get into actual meditation. You have to go through so many stages, then finally you get to control of the mind, or focus of the mind on the object, the supreme. Our process is different. From the very beginning, we focus the mind on the supreme by transcendental sound. But in the yoga system, first you do these sitting processes, sitting postures, and so on. Any questions here? Yes?
Just a comment.
Comment? Okay, let's hear a comment.
In connection also to the previous words, I find it interesting that now yoga has become popular all over the world. And yet, unlike the previous verse, there's no mention of renouncing.
Oh yeah, this is yoga indriya samyama. Yoga means to control the senses. If you don't control the mind and the senses, there's no such thing as yoga. So this yoga is cheating, that we just, you know, we sit this way and we do this, we do that. I had something of a correspondence with the editor of a magazine, the most popular yoga magazine, actually. This was many years ago, but I think they're the most popular, Yoga Journal. And he was explaining, he told me, you know, they know their readership, they know who's who, overwhelmingly female. And largely interested in health and beauty. You know, you can develop what Satyaraj called a yoga butt.
Yoga
butt. You know, trim your buttocks.
Basically, that's it.
You look good. That's overwhelmingly what his audience was interested in. And, you know, the editors were trying to, you know, get as much philosophy as they, you know, get philosophy in there. But there's only a, you know, thin quantity, a thin proportion that his readership would tolerate. Not very philosophical. So that's yoga these days. But real yoga means indriya samyama, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, so that you can fix the mind on the supreme. So they're not even in the neophyte stage of yoga. They're not in any kind of yoga.
I've heard that the qualification to do dhyana yoga is purity.
In dhyana yoga?
Dhyana yoga, dhyana khanda and yoga, this is a discipline by itself. You have to be, you know, sattvic.
Yeah, dhyana, you know, this is the problem, that people are going to school and becoming jnanis, but their consciousness is not purified. The real jnanis, you know, real taking jnani as a philosopher is austere. A philosopher is a person who's austere, not a person who, you know, pigs out on sense gratification and then says, well, I think. That's not a philosopher. Philosophers, even at Oxford until fairly recently, maybe it's the last decade or so, all of the dons, the instructors and so on, celibate. And all the students. All the students, at least all the instructors. All the instructors were celibate. Because that's an intellectual. An intellectual, it's assumed that if he's, you know, if he's into books, then he's not into, you know, sleeping around.
Is that right?
Oxford.
Currently also?
No. That's outmoded. But formerly it meant a scholar was a person who was into scholarship. And a person who was into women and women, wine, and song is a different kind of person. Now it's the same person. Yada hi na indriya arteshu na karma spanusajjate sarva sankalpi sankalpa sannyasi yoga rudhastarochate. So here's further description of yoga rudha, the advanced yogis. Na indriyarteshu. He's not involved in sense gratification. Na karma, na karmasu anasajjita. He doesn't needlessly engage in work meant for sense enjoyment. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi. He gives up all sankalpa. Sankalpa means desire for sense gratification. Otherwise, it specifically means, what is that? It means
commitment.
Yeah, determination. It also means imagination.
Yeah.
Right? It also means imagination. Sankalpa Prabhavan Kama. Where is that? Sankalpa Prabhavan.
Second chapter.
We talked about that. Sankalpa Prabhavan Kama. Let's find that verse. Where is it? Sarvan Chakra Paritra. Oh, 624. Okay.
Mental
yeah.
Speculation.
There it is. I wasn't speculating, it's there. Sankalpa means mental speculation. This is what's going on with sense gratification. We talked about that. It's
mental.
It's mental speculation. What was the verse in the second chapter? Prajahati yadaha kama sarvan partha manogata. Third chapter.
No, second.
Second chapter.
Second chapter. So, sarvan partha manogata. That one is how does he? Yeah, right. How does he sit? How does he? He gives up all. All desires of sense desire, kaman, which are manogata, mental concoctions. So here again, sarva sankalpa. Sankalpa can mean determination. It can also mean mental speculation. So especially mental speculation about sense enjoyment. Imagining, basically. Imagining, I could enjoy this way, I could enjoy that way.
That's kalpa and kalpana. Kalpana means
imagination.
So sarva sankalpa. All this imagination about I'm going to enjoy this material world.
What is the difference between acting for sense gratification and for fruitive activity?
Not much difference. He doesn't engage in sense gratification, in viarteshu, and it looks to me like it's that the activities are for sense gratification.
Shreya Priya. Shreya and Priya.
No.
Fruit of activities.
Sense gratification or fruit of activities, they go together. Karma. You know, why am I engaged in karma? So that I can go out and do something for my sense and dream. Karma in Vyartation. Okay. Next two verses are quite important for yoga. Any kind of yoga. Uttareid atman atman. Natmanam avasada ye. Atmaiva yatmano bandhur. Atmaiva ripur atmana. Atma here means the mind. Uddhared, one must uplift the mind, deliver the mind, and not avasadiye, degrade the mind. Atmaiva yatmano bandhur, and atmaiva ripur atmanaha, because the mind can be the best friend or the mind can be the worst enemy. The mind should be so trained that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature, and in this way the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word "he" is used for emphasizing this point. One must do it. Clear?
In Sanskrit, like Atma and Atmanam, like Atmanam is the conditioned soul, like what does the word Nam have some significance?
It's these are case endings. It's the same word, but according to its grammatical function in the sentence, it has a different case ending. The case endings perform a lot of the function that prepositions may perform. We say of Krishna, by Krishna, to Krishna, for Krishna, from Krishna, by Krishna. So these are prefixes. In English we say it's the same word, Krishna. We say by Krishna, it means one thing. Say from Krishna, or of Krishna, or to Krishna, it's another thing. In Latin, in Sanskrit, and in Russian, I think, and other languages, they have case endings. So that if you say Krishnasya, it's of Krishna.
Yeah.
You say Krishnat, it's from Krishna. And so on.
They're called the declensions.
Declensions, yes. They are declensions. The nouns are declined. And one, as a student, one has to memorize the declensions, how the different forms. So there's a first declension and a second declension in Latin. In Sanskrit, they have their own way of doing it. Okay? So it's the same word, Atma, but it's used with two meanings, the mind and the soul. So one must deliver the Atma by the Atma. And one must deliver the mind, deliver the self. Here it says, sometimes it's said one has to deliver the self by the self. One has to deliver the Atma by the Atma. One has to deliver the soul by the properly controlled mind. And that's explained now in the next verse. Bandhur Atma Atmanastasya Yen Atma Eva Atmanajitaha Anatmanastu Shatrutve Varte Tatvaiva Shatruvat. So the friendly mind is the mind that's controlled. Jitta. Jitta means conquered. Jitta. One who has conquered the mind has the mind as a friend. And anatmanas, one whose mind is uncontrolled, varteta, he lives always with the worst enemy, shatruvat. Shatrutve. Anatmanas tu shatrutve, varteta maiva shatruvat. For him, the mind is always an enemy. Because the mind will be uncontrolled. As long as the mind remains an uncontrolled, unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who resides in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Real yoga means meeting the Paramatma within the heart, then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically.
When I read this, I wonder how that, just by controlling the mind, even mechanically, that all of a sudden you can enter into a relationship with Paramatma. I mean, some
Yes, because of course, really conquering the mind means saying now. Yoga, the yogi sits down to realize the Paramatma. But he can't do that unless he's conquered his mind. Once he's conquered his mind, okay, now we're going someplace. Like horses. Okay, first you get the horses in line, then you hit them with the whip a couple times, show them who's boss. And once they know who's boss, you can go to Calcutta. But if the horses think, well, why are we going to listen to this guy? Who does he think he is? We're in charge here. You're not going to go anywhere. Except into a ditch, maybe. Once the horses are under your control, you can go where you want to go. It's like, okay, we're halfway to Calcutta already, because half the job was getting the horses to know who's boss. Just like you see, sometimes you'll see on country roads, an ox cart is there, and the ox is moving, and the ox driver is sleeping. We've probably seen many times. The man is sleeping on the cart, and the ox is just going. Because he knows what he's supposed to do. He's a well-trained ox. He knows, I just keep walking and everything's all right. And the ox driver doesn't even have to worry about it. He can sleep peacefully because he knows the ox is going to do... He's going to, I'll wake up and I'll be there. That's the benefit of the well-trained ox. And the ox that's not trained, oh my God,
Just the ox power over the...
Yeah, the ox has power. Ox power means the ox has the power and the man is helpless. So when the ox is nicely trained, then, he can even sleep and he'll go there. So when the mind is conquered, okay, that's, we did most of the work. Now we just have to carry on and we'll automatically get there.
They haven't made the cars to do that yet.
Excuse me?
They haven't made the cars to do that.
No, they haven't made the cars to do that.
Planes can.
Although, do they have that, what do they call it?
The autopilot for a plane.
Cruise control. They have cruise control.
You can't sleep.
Yeah, you can't sleep. Definitely not, although people do.
That's more dangerous.
That's more dangerous. So we're not recommending sleeping. But this is very essential, that the mind has to be controlled. If the mind is all degraded, how will we make spiritual progress? And degradation of the mind means mind is occupied with sense enjoyment. Basically it means thinking of sense. Call a spade here, men. Degradation of the mind means that the mind is thinking of sex. There's other degradation of mind, just thinking of this, thinking of that. But final, number one degradation is thinking of sex and drugs. So that's avasadaye. So uddharet atmanatman. One has to up-level the mind, upgrade the mind, deliver the mind by savai mana krishna padadavaya, by placing the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. And being always engaged in Krishna's service so that he's always thinking, what I have to do for Krishna, what I have to do for Krishna. Or what I read about Krishna, or how I'm dressing Krishna, or how I'm offering something to Krishna, how I'm in Krishna's business. Always, the mind should be engaged in such a way that it's uplifted in Krishna consciousness, so that it's not degraded to thoughts of sense enjoyment and material, which results in material. Clear?
Sometimes it looks like that the mind is already our friend, but after some time, again, he starts to make...
Yeah, the mind looks nice and friendly, and then all of a sudden you notice that it's being unfriendly. Therefore, the mind always should be controlled. Just like, any dangerous animals, serpents or tigers or something, you know, they're our friends as long as we've got them under strict control.
The bears in the circus or
the
something.
The bears in the circus, you know, take your pick of dangerous animals. As long as they're, you know, controlled, you know, you're making a living or whatever it is that you're, as soon as you're inattentive, you just became breakfast. So these senses are not to be trusted. They're compared to serpents. But for the person who's got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're like serpents with broken fangs. But one should never be slack and think all the senses, they're not. Senses should always be controlled. This is Goswami. To control the senses. Otherwise one becomes Godas, servant to the senses. And the center of the senses is the mind. If the mind is thinking of sense enjoyment, if the mind is immersed in thinking of sense enjoyment, where are the senses? What's going to happen to the senses? They'll follow. And if the mind is engaged in Krishna's service, then the senses follow that way also. Control of the mind is crucial. Whether you're in Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, this yoga, that yoga, any kind of yoga, yoga indriya samyak. Yoga means to control the senses. And among the senses, indriyana manas chasmi. Among the senses, the mind is the center of the senses. So the whole chapter is controlling that mind. That's the... Yeah.
Our devotees are traveling all over the world. They're flying. So many images get registered. So what should one do in such a case like that?
Stay on the ground. Yes, it's dangerous. You fly and they're showing all rubbish. You go preaching and billboards are... It is supposedly cleaned up Times Square, you know, it used to be a place where they had all prostitution and pornographic movies, so that the city has made it, you know, nice and spiffy, you know. But now the billboards for just things like jeans and so on, my God, they're like rated triple X. You know, so the whole world is unsafe. It's really, especially for someone who's trying to make spiritual advancement, the whole environment that human society is constructed is unfriendly. Therefore, one has to always be seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness, in good association also. You know, we go here, go there, and without association. Therefore, it's practical, even. You know, that our preaching teams, they go in twos, or threes, or fours. Not to be distracted by this or that, because there's strength in numbers. Therefore, it's practical, but our process is not that I'll go off to the forest. Even in the forest where, you know, Calvin Klein isn't putting up his porno jean advertisements, you know, still the birds and monkeys are having sex. You know, that's enough to kill the squirrels. And, you know, I mean, every species of life out there, they're all doing it. Mm. And for the person whose mind is not controlled, that becomes a source of agitation. Sovari Muni was underwater.
Yeah.
You know, imagine how powerful you have to be. Stay underwater for thousands of years, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and meditating. And these, you know, little fishies happen to float by,
populating,
you know, having their amorous pastime. You're not even safe under the water.
Nope.
There's no safe place in the material world. So, the only safe place is at the lotus feet of Krishna. Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhakya. By engaging the mind positively in the service of Krishna, the mind can be saved from degradation. Otherwise, it's a risky place. Okay, we've gone over time. We're stopping here. Thank you all very much. All very much.
Who's I need a head of a who's Gopinath from Finland? Okay. Who's Bhagavad?
Bhagavad want to change and he want to come on our team.
All right.